It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Friday to everybody out there. I hope you're good. I hope you're well and all that good stuff. If not, let me try to help. I will try my best. No guess, no guarantees, but I'll try. We'll be here with you for the next 3 hours, the 4 hour show every single weekday. That means Monday through Friday. If you look for me tomorrow here on the Infinity Sports Network, I ain't here. Don't waste your time. Still tune in, but I ain't going to be here. Anyway, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific is when I get started. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, you can lock in on channel 158. And if you're lazy like me and you talk to computers, ask a smart speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. The Lakers fired Darvin Ham. No shock there. The New York Knicks advance to take on the Pacers. We got Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News. He's going to come through and talk to us about the Knicks versus the Pacers. That's going to be here. Well, that's going to happen in another 20 minutes. Can't wait. We'll talk about Joel Embiid being a basketball bum, a dirty bum. Not like that. He's a dirty basketball player. He's a bum of a player in the fourth quarter. I'm not disrespectful to throw personal lobs. That's not what I do. Next hour, Kobe Price is going to join us to talk about the Lakers. And then, oh, how about this? There's a basketball game about to be underway in about 10 minutes. We got the Cavaliers and the Magic. They're down in Orlando. Cavs are trying to get the Magic the hell up on out of here. It'd be a disappointment if they don't. This series is, I haven't watched a minute. Puts me to sleep. Who cares? I care about the Magic. They'll be good, but not now. Who cares? Teams are boring. Just being honest. Well, I'm going to stand here and lie. Break down the games. Like, come on, who cares about this? I don't know if people in Orlando and Cleveland care about this series. I just want to see what happens with Donovan Mitchell. Talk to me about the Magic maybe next year. Yeah, they on their way up. Anyway, right before we went to break, we talked some football. Talked about Odell Beckham Jr. joining the Dolphins. Talked about how the Dolphins are one of these fast, athletic teams built on speed. It's a lot of excitement, but there's no aggression. And then we started to think about real-life Dolphins, and I'm saying to myself, they got a mean streak. And so, Hickey, we have information. So there's a couple of things.
Okay.
Dolphins are indeed mammals, which I knew. And what is a mammal? Kind of everything we said already. A warm-blooded vertebrae. You got to have a spine, okay? Dolphins have spines. Good for them. Okay? They also have hair or fur. Dolphins' hair has to be very, very thin, I guess. You have to, have milk for your kids, produce milk for your kids. And then you got you give birth to live young. So no eggs. And so a dolphin falls into that category. And dolphins, it's also been said that they are known to be friendly to other animals, including humans, but they can also be aggressive. And dare I say, dolphins can also be, they can be frisky. Let's put it that way.
So is that what you were talking about? You think dolphins are now just attacking people driven by their friskiness?
No, I think it's one of the two. Like, if you're going to mess around with a dolphin, he may slap you around if you want to be mean to him, you know?
You ever see those videos of the surfers getting flipped by dolphins? You want a good laugh.
Whoa.
That's a good laugh.
Yes. Whoa. What is a dark side of you?
I'm just No.
You're watching humans get destroyed by sea creatures?
They're okay. And you're falling into water. You'll be fine.
Oh, man. Are you sure it's the dolphins and not, like, the whales?
Oh, no. It's the dolphins. And there's a pod of them. You just see them. They just jump right into the wave, and then boom, goes airborne.
They're playing pinball with the humans out there.
So that could be their aggressiveness. Maybe that's the mean streak you're talking about. You know,
could be. Well,
need some surfers on the NFL field, and maybe the Dolphins' defense would be the best in the league. The
Miami Dolphins got to pick some things up from the real life Dolphins. Pick up a tip or two. And speaking of a tip or two, let me get into this. Patrick Beverley is an idiot. Okay, I haven't necessarily ever been fond of the guy. Certainly how he got into the NBA it was one of these, oh my God, stories. Like, look how hard he plays. And then we found out more about his personality, and he's a jerk. He's a troll. He's a jerk. He's a human fill in the blank, man. So we know last night the Milwaukee Bucks were eliminated from the postseason by the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are now going to go ahead and take on the New York Knicks. And so the final score yesterday was 120-98. Patrick Beverley, who can't hit the broadside of a barn, contributed last night all of 6 points, 2 rebounds, and 5 assists. Okay, whoop-de-freaking-do. I mean, for the season, Patrick Beverley averaged 6 points. He's going to be, 36 years old in the summertime, and his time is winding down. And for a guy who was undrafted or was drafted, didn't make the team, had to go play in Europe, had to play in Russia, had to play in Greece, had to play in a million other places, came back, got a chance through like the D League, G League, ended up with the Rockets, and stuck with the team just by being a hard-nosed defensive guy. He was all-defensive team before. People don't remember this. He's been on multiple all-defensive teams. And as he's been in the league and gotten older, he's just been more of a pain in the ass. Talking trash, getting into crap. I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves win a play-in game. He celebrates like he won a championship. He starts a podcast. He's on TV. He is a massive troll. Trying to push buttons. Because his career at this point is winding down. And I guess for as hard as he's worked, he didn't want to live off of that. He wants to live in the media space, right? Well, we found out how much of a real jerk he is. Because last night, at the end of the game, everybody is now garbage time. Patrick Beverley launches a ball into the stands. I don't think he intended to beam a woman in the side of the damn head, but he did. He beamed a woman in the side of the head. A man throws the ball back to Patrick Beverley, and Patrick Beverley then pushes the ball, chest passes the ball with force straight into this guy. Another fan gets ready to take the ball, and now he wants to like throw it back at Beverley, and now, you know, security is making everybody relax. He hit two people with a basketball in the first damn time. He hit a woman. Like, what are we doing? And it doesn't stop there. After the game, in the locker room, after the loss, Patrick Beverley is sitting around doing his media scrum, having his scrum, conducting his scrum. And there's an ESPN reporter, a woman, who I guess was a little too close to this dude. And if you thought throwing a ball at people wasn't enough, he became a full-fledged jerk. Listen to this.
Here.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Before I finish.
Yeah.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
So you can't interview me then. Okay. No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah.
What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over, kind of like you have in the past?
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, why are you being a jerk? And so there's a couple of things that took place. This idiot, yeah, I called him an idiot because he is. He tried to defend himself. Like, then he went to social media. And he wanted to let everybody know that pretty much what took place was not fair. That the exchange between the fan and the ball club happened all night long. We warned and asked for help all night. Patrick Beverley said it's not fair. Man, who's a professional? You or them? Like, grow a set. Be an adult. And then this morning he says, but I have to be better, and I will. Your ass is almost 36 years old. You ain't going to learn to be better. You're just a jackass. That's just what it boils down to. Like, you're accosting the fans, and it's been reported. So here's a couple of things. ESPN has banned him from ESPN, as they should. Like, they have been nice enough to have you on their television shows and programs, and boosting your profile, bigging you up, and you just disrespectful to one of the employees, let alone a woman in the locker room, where women for years, for decades, have had the fight to even be in a locker room, let alone be respected for not just a woman in the locker room. What a jackass for that. And then you throw a ball at a woman in the stands. I have some other stronger words that I'd like to use, but I can't. And I said this last night before we got off the air, but we couldn't dive deep. There's a fine coming for this, right? There's a fine coming. There's a suspension coming for the beginning of next season if somebody wants to even pick him up at this point to have him on their team. And you want to know who's chimed in on this as well? How about somebody who's familiar with suspensions and fines and ejections? Draymond Green put in his own two cents into the matter. He was on his Draymond Green show. Listen to Draymond.
Adam's going to have a problem on his hands with this one because it's about as close as you can get to going in the stands. That is forbidden for us. Then Pat didn't follow it up very well because he followed it up with getting into it with the female reporter about not subscribing to his podcast. I ain't never heard somebody say, if you ain't subscribed to my podcast, don't ask me a question.
Come on. Draymond Green is trolling at this point. He had a good time. I mean, he's not choking Rudy Gobert. He's not stomping on Sabonis. But he's just having a good time. He had a good old time with that one, but he's right. Adam Silver is gonna have fun. That is the closest thing. I mean, outside of striking somebody, he used the object. I mean, does it matter if Patrick Beverley took off his damn shoe and threw it? Does it matter if he threw a basketball? Does it matter if he threw his headband? I mean, Steph Curry got fined for throwing his damn mouthpiece into the stands. And we know in the realm of basketball, Steph Curry ain't bothering nobody. Patrick Beverley is not good enough. Well, first of all, it'll make him good enough to throw anything in the stands. He's not good enough to be acting like an ass. He's not good enough of a player in the NBA to be causing all this trouble and drama. If Patrick Beverley keeps this up, he's going to have to go back and play in Europe. He's going to have to go back and play in China. Last year, Steph Curry was fined $25,000. $25,000 for throwing his mouth guard into the stands. You want to know who he intended to hit? Nobody. $25,000. Hey, not too long ago, at the end of this season, the San Antonio Spurs, I think they were taking on the New York Knicks. Victor Wembanyama threw a ball into the stands. Victor Wembanyama, he was fined $25,000. And that was after a happy moment. It's like a gift to the fans. Patrick Beverley intentionally threw a ball in the stands twice. He hit a woman, and then he tried to hit the other guy. He did. Hickey, what do you think his fine looks like? 100? 150? 200?
I mean, honestly, it should be like a mil. Seven figures.
Wow.
I mean, you can't. You got to set, first of all, punish them. And then number two is set a precedent to make sure that no one even has this thought remotely into their head again.
And Draymond said it. The thought didn't come to my mind. This is close, as close to Malice in the Palace. Like, who's to say that the guy in the jersey, you saw the bigger guy in the jersey who wanted the ball? Who's to say that he wasn't now going to just jump and start swinging? Like that realistically could have happened. And Draymond brings up a good point. The NBA doesn't want no more malice at the palace. We are, what, 20 years removed from that? And nobody wants to see that no more. Patrick Beverley is a jerk. You know, I got to be honest. I've been sick of watching the guy because all he does is talk. He has talked and talked and talked and talked and has kept the job as a result, you know, hanging out with playoff teams as the defensive guy. Now he needs to go learn Chinese. And nobody gives a damn about your podcast either. I'm glad ESPN banned him. He got very few options now. I know a few other places will not touch him. And I guess he's just going to have to whine and cry on his podcast. Congratulations, you jackass. You played yourself. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. What we're going to do is take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, instead of talking about this jackass, we're going to talk about one of the... See, now this is a different, this is a totally different guy. This guy actually has respect for the game, has respect for his teammates, has respect for his fans, shows up to work. He even has a podcast, and I don't even know if he talks during it. We're going to talk about the New York Knicks and Jalen Brunson. Joining us on the other side of the break is Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News. Yeah, we go from a jackass to a gentleman. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming now, only on Netflix.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we talked about a jackass on the other side of the break. His name is Patrick Beverly. Well, now it's time to talk about a gentleman. His name is Jalen Brunson of the New York Knicks. We know the New York Knicks advanced with their victory last night, beating the Sixers 118-115. Game one for the New York Knicks is against the Indiana Pacers on Monday in Madison Square Garden. To talk about this Knicks achievement, what the team is doing, what they can do, and this matchup against the Pacers is none other than Christian Winfield, who covers these New York Knicks for the New York Daily News. Christian, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a wild playoff, not even just playoff, just the regular season covering this team. And remember, I was covering the Nets for 4 years, so I kind of just jumped right into the fire in terms of learning how this Knicks team works. And when I tell you, just any challenge you throw at them, they find a way to come out on top. That's kind of been the theme of this entire season. When you consider all the injuries, you consider Julius Randle going down. When Julius Randle went down, I thought the Knicks were doomed. I'm like, okay, let's just pack it up. We'll be back next year. I was wrong. They are a team that it doesn't matter who goes down that's wearing orange and blue, someone else is going to step up, and we're seeing it play out now as they go into the second round to face the Indiana Pacers.
It's very much appreciated watching how hard they play, especially with no Julius Randle. Christian, you bring up a great point. Before we get to the Pacers, let's look back at the series that just took place. We saw how loud it was at Wells Fargo on Sunday. Management and ownership for the Sixers purchased tickets to try to keep things quiet, and Knicks fans still showed up, and they were the loudest at the end of the game. You talk about covering this team, just that experience, New York Knicks fans are like no other.
Yeah, I mean, look, number one, the difference, you can really see it when the Knicks go play at Barclays Center, for example, right? Because you got Knicks fans who are going in droves across the bridge, but the proximity is there. It's only about a 20-minute ride from Barclays to MSG if you're getting on an express train, right? To go from all the way in New York to get to Philly, it's a 90-minute Amtrak, right? And then you got to figure out what your plans are in terms of waiting all day. And then there's a late start. The game last night didn't start until 9 p.m. And you had ownership sitting there talking about, we just bought up 1,000 tickets or however much we're going to give them to first responders and healthcare people. And, you know, good on them. But it still sounded in many stretches like a home game for this Knicks team. And I asked Tom Thibodeau what it was like to play in hostile territory. And he looked at me and said, Was it hostile to go and play in Philadelphia? That's what type of advantage the Knicks fans gave this team. Tim said, was it hostile? No, it wasn't. It felt a lot like a home game. You got to tip your hat to Knicks fans. Now, it's going to be different if we're looking forward to Indiana. Indiana's a lot further than a 90-minute Amtrak, right? Indianapolis is not the destination that Philly is. So if you're going to Indianapolis, it's a completely different vibe. We see Knicks fans travel a lot. I've seen crazy ovations for the Knicks in Washington, D.C., in Charlotte, sometimes in Miami. Usually wherever the Knicks go, they end up getting a good ovation. I'm not sure they're going to have that same advantage in Indiana, but I don't think they care. I think regardless of whether they're getting booed or regardless of whether they got cheers coming to them in different cities, this team knows what it's going to do. They play by Tibbs' core tenets. He wants you to rebound. He wants you to space the floor, shoot the three, play good defense, don't turn the ball over. He believes that if you do those three or four things, you're going to put yourself in position to win most nights. And look at that. The Knicks just eliminated the reigning MVP. And hold on. Shout out to Tyrese Maxey. I mean, I don't think anyone saw him coming into this series. Yeah, sure. All-star, sure. Budding star, sure. Shooting from pretty much half court to keep your series alive at Madison Square Garden and then hitting the game winner in overtime. I mean, he had a sensational season, but it's the Knicks who are coming out on top for sure.
Yeah, Christian Winfield is here with us, covers the New York Knicks for the New York Daily News. When you talk about the Knicks, obviously they follow the lead of their best player, Jalen Brunson. 41 points in the elimination game. He's dropping 37-plus just about every game. You know, Coach Tibbs has a reputation, justifiably so, rightfully so, wrongfully so, of driving people into the ground. How much longer can Brunson do this? Is he not going to run out of gas against the Pacers?
You know, I think at this point the safe bet is to never bet against Jalen Brunson. Whatever you think he can't do, he's going to end up doing. For example, regular season, he's averaging pretty one of the worst in terms of shooting efficiency. The Sixers in regular season games, four games, he did not play well in those games, right? You're looking at games where he shot the ball poorly. What we saw in the first two games against the Sixers was what they did to him in the regular season. You have Kelly Oubre, you've got Nick Batum, you're using those guys to guard the point of attack. It makes life difficult because Jalen Brunson is 6'2" on paper, right? And he just takes any challenge, and he just takes his time. He's going to figure it out, and then boom. You see him explode for 47. You see him start figuring things out. You see him start getting comfortable. Now we're not talking about shooting. We're not talking about efficiency. We're just talking about his body. Is he going to be able to continue this? I think so. Just because from the way he approaches taking care of his body in the offseason, this is what Tibbs, this is what Josh Hart, this is what all these guys say. They say we work hard in the offseason so that we can maintain during the regular season. This is what these guys have trained for, right? If you're telling me that you don't want to be in a position to play 40 minutes for the Knicks while they're trying to make a playoff run that we haven't seen since 1999, 2000, I'm calling you a liar, because the way the fans are cheering for this team, the way you just have to look at the stakes of it all, right? So, yeah, sure, you know Tibbs has a reputation of playing guys heavy minutes, but a lot of these guys, Deuce McBride, for example, I asked him if he was tired after playing 48 minutes. He goes, man, I want to play 48 more. You know, these guys want to run through a brick wall, not just for Tibbs, but for this organization and for each other. And I think that this is what they've trained last offseason. This is why they play heavy minutes during the regular season, so that their bodies can hold up when it matters. Yeah, I think not just Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart is going to be able to play a lot of minutes, Dante DiVincenzo, Isaiah Hartenstein. All these guys are ready to play big minutes in the playoffs.
When you look at this New York Knicks team and you think about how businesslike it is, like you said, there's no Julius Randle. Have the dynamics of the team changed as he's been kind of a bystander? Like, this is now, and it's moved this way over the past year and a half, this is Brunson's team. And we've seen Julius Randle be a little, a little abrasive here and there, off and on. What about the dynamics from now moving ahead?
You know, that's an interesting question. It's interesting because, number one, I know people give Julius a lot of flack for his play style, ISO heavy, holds on to the ball. At the end of the day, sometimes you got to look at the numbers. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, can shoot the 3, can put the ball on the floor. And really the most important part of his presence on the court is he can command a double team, right? Jalen Brunson is the only other guy who really commands that type of defensive attention on the roster right now. When Julius Randle was out there, that's when it became, okay, well, now the floor is really spaced. We've got OG. That's why the Knicks were able to run off, what was it, 12-2 in the first 14 games that OG Anunoby gets there? Yeah, because you got two players who command a double team. You got OG in one corner, Dante DiVincenzo in another, and then you got either Isaiah Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson right by the rim. It's difficult to stop. So when you ask me if what the Knicks are trying to do changes with Julius Randle out, I'd say it does, because, you know, you don't have that guy, right? You don't have a second guy who can go out there and get you a bucket when you need it. So you got to play smart. You got to shoot close to 53s because you're not going to be able to just get the ball to another guy who can collapse the paint and make the right play. But at the same time, this is a team that misses him. The Knicks believe that if Julius Randle was healthy, they'd be, and they still have all the confidence in the world in a deep playoff run. But they're thinking if Julius was healthy and we're able to figure out the chemistry with this team, the sky's the limit on what they can do. But I think when you lose a guy who's that important, the ways that you have to figure out how to compensate for his absence has brought this team together. This is a close-knit Knicks team. Like, these guys love each other. And especially, it starts with the trio of guys who went to Villanova, right? You got Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson. Those guys are kind of the nucleus of this team. And then you throw Julius Randle in there with his talent. This is a team that could be, you know, if they come back next year healthy, I mean, they build on what they've done this year. We could be seeing the beginning of something very, very special in New York. So to your question, yes, that things have had to change a bit with Julius out, naturally, just because you've got a guy who's responsible for so much of the offense not out there anymore. But, you know, I think, number one, we also started to see Julius start to defer to Brunson as kind of all-star, the captain of this team. And I think now the way he's been able to play this year, there's no doubt about it. This is Jalen Brunson's team. Julius Randle, I think he knows that. And I think he likes that, you know, after having a lot of the pressure on his shoulders for a couple of years, now he's got somebody else that he could rely on with the game on the line.
Christian Winfield is here with us from the New York Daily News. Looking ahead to what's going to go down on Monday, we know we can go back to a year. It's been Tyrese Halliburton or Jalen Brunson, or who's better, or who deserves an all-star spot. Well, they're here in a series against each other. Yeah. What do you think this series is going to look like? Are the Knicks going to keep on rolling? Do the Pacers continue to grow? What do you see happening with this series?
Did you see the photo that went viral yesterday? I tweeted it today as well. It went viral last night of the look Grant Hill gave Jalen Brunson when he talked to him after the game. And obviously Grant Hill is the person who's the director of Team USA Basketball, and he's the person who was responsible for not putting Jalen Brunson on the 2024 Paris Olympic team. Instead, guess who got that spot? Tyrese Halliburton. So if you're telling me that this isn't going to be one of those series where you got to grab some popcorn and tune in, this is about to be crazy. Why? Because I know that even though Jalen Brunson won't say anything, he's not talking about getting snubbed from Team USA, Tyrese Halliburton took his spot. And Jalen Brunson is having a better season, and he's on a quest to prove not just that, but he's on a quest to prove that anything you throw at him, he's going to find a way to figure it out. This series is going to have everything. And I think stylistically it's interesting because the Pacers – they're going out there trying to get 150 points a night on you, right? They're not. You know, they're going to. They talked about trying to play defense during the in-season tournament, but what happened in the Milwaukee series? All the games they won, they scored 120 or more, right? That's going to be the key for them. The Pacers are going to run, and this is where I get concerned from the Knicks, because we talked about all that mileage picking up on your legs. We haven't talked about it, but look, you got Isaiah Hartenstein, who had an Achilles situation he was dealing with. Mitchell Robinson dealing with an ankle. You don't have Bojan Bogdanovic, so you've got. You know, you've got guys who are fatigued. You have guys who are dealing with injuries. You don't have Julius Randle. And on top of that, Tibbs doesn't like playing more than eight or nine guys in a game at any time, especially in the playoffs. So how deep are you going to have to go in your rotation when you've got another team that's playing 200 miles an hour? So I think stylistically it'll be fun. I think we're going to have to watch out for that Miles Turner, because Miles Turner's a guy who's going to pull your center out of the rim, out of the paint, which means Josh Hart is about to have to get another 20 rebounds a game or whatever he averaged. This is going to be a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, this is coming down to a gunfight between Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson. These are two guys who played on Team USA together last year in the FIBA World Cup. They came up empty, and then Halliburton got the nod to play for the Olympic team while Jalen Brunson got snubbed. You're going to see a whole bunch of sparks in this one. It'll be a lot of fun for sure.
Maybe rekindling of an old rivalry that is at this point 25, 30 years old. Hey, Christian, thank you for taking the time to hop on. Where can people follow you and your work with the Daily News?
You can follow me on Twitter, obviously, at Chris Blast. NewYorkDailyNews.com/sports/basketball/Knicks is where you'll find a lot of my work. Brother, I also just wanted to congratulate you, man. I remember when I was on YouTube watching you doing your videos with the fitted backwards, you know, say yelling into the camera. I remember that, man. I'm just glad to see how far you've come, man. Congratulations right there.
Yeah, congratulations to you, my main man, Christian. Appreciate it, man. We'll be chatting with you down the line, okay?
For sure. Good to hear from you, man.
No doubt about it. That Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News. This is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We are going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, oh, I'm not done with Philadelphia. Hickey, is this, I can't say it's a funeral for Philadelphia. That's too morbid, right?
Oh, no, it's a funeral.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Season's dead.
We're going to talk about these fans in Philly again. And then I want to answer a fan, I guess I can call him a fan, a listener in Cleveland, Ohio. He has a lot of jokes. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News for joining us in the last break. The Knicks are getting ready to take on the Indiana Pacers. That series gets started with Game 1 on Monday. A hell of a wait. I mean, at least between the Pacers and the Knicks. The Pacers eliminated the Bucks. The Knicks knock off the Sixers. At least they get a little bit of time to rest. Not too bad and not too shabby. These teams actually playing basketball right now, they're not resting. Because in Orlando, Florida, the place where dreams are made of, right? Or something like that. Is that New Hickey, that's New York? Dreams are made of, right?
Yes. Yes.
I've been to Orlando a million times. What is it, something about dreams with Mickey Mouse and all this other stuff?
That's why I was hesitant to say yes, because I feel like when you said that, I'm like, oh, Disney World. Like, yeah, like that's right. That to me sounds accurate.
Okay, so screw New York for a minute. They win.
Give it to Disney.
Yeah, give it to Disney for now. The Magic, they're currently beating the Cavaliers 29-25. Cleveland leads this series 3-2. And obviously, Cleveland is trying to avoid a Game 7. And if they lose to the Orlando Magic, I don't care. And how many? Well, it'd have to be 7 games. Man, Donovan Mitchell, you might as well get this guy a ticket on out of town. And I'm active online and social media. I know we got the phone lines here, 855-212-4227. Somebody messaged me. A guy put a post up, a response to me on Facebook. He says, his name is Joe. Stop hating on the Cavs. It's been the best series so far. To who? And I don't hate on anybody. I just tell the truth. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic, they happen to, A, play in probably the couple of the smallest media markets here in the NBA flattened period. They don't have stars that have a gravitational pull for a casual basketball fan. You in Cleveland, which I assume, Joe, you're in, you might care about the Cavs. Nobody else does. I think if you would poll the majority of the country, people are having more fun. They watch the Lakers lose. I think people are having fun watching the New York Knicks and the 76ers. That series is now over. If I had to take a poll of America and say, which series don't you give a damn about, people are going to go, who on those teams? I know who's on those teams. I watch basketball religiously. But this ain't hitting the mark, man. Much love to your Cavaliers, but nobody cares. Holler at me in a couple of years. What's Donovan Mitchell going to do? Nobody cares about this series. That just so happens to be a fact. 855-212-4227. Another fact. Saquon Barkley was at the game last night. Sitting courtside with his new teammate, A.J. Brown, wide receiver, just got his new deal. And Saquon Barkley, they showed him. And for the Knicks fans that were there, they booed him. Saquon Barkley is in Philadelphia. He's now a member of the Eagles. They gave him that big old contract, 3 years, $37 million, 26 guaranteed. And he got booed. Saquon Barkley went on Twitter, X. He says, it's been 2 months. There's no way you can still be this mad. I can't even go to a basketball game. A fan then responded to him. You bailed on New York. Sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. Saquon Barkley responded by saying, let me educate some of you fans here. I can't bail or become a traitor if I never got an offer to come back. So I went to the organization I felt was best, And after already being here for a month, man, I'm excited to be an Eagle. Go Birds. And Saquon Barkley not exactly further endearing himself to New York Giant fans, although that was going to be the case from the get-go. I mean, we heard Tiki Barber and tongue-in-cheek say, hey, he's dead to us. And Saquon even hit back at Giants legend Tiki Barber by saying, hey, man, just, you got some nerve to talk. Don't smile in my face the next time you see me. Wow. Saquon Barkley fighting back. I do recall the New York Giants offering him a deal about a year ago. I don't know what they just did right now. I don't think they offered him anything. Maybe they didn't, but it's just a matter of timing. I do know when Saquon got the deal done and ended up as a Philadelphia Eagle at his introductory press conference, he said sorry to the fans. He said sorry to the Giants fans, but I guess sorry is over.
To the Giants fans that were hurt about me leaving, I got nothing but love and respect for all those guys and, you know, all those ladies and just the fans. For the last 6 years, they've been great to me, to my family, created so many memories. I don't think I really handled it the right way on social media. I think I could have gave a proper goodbye. You know, like I said, once I announced, everything kind of got hectic. But, yeah, I'm forever, you know, forever grateful for the Giants fans and so thankful for them.
Now to hell with him. Is that the new thing? He didn't say that, but is that the new feeling, Hickey?
Oh, definitely. You know he's going to be extra motivated next year when they go to MetLife.
Isn't that fun, though? I like this. This is what it should be, right? Beef? He's going to run the ball at MetLife Stadium, and the minute that he touches the ball, they're going to boo him, and I think it's great.
We just saw it on the court with Sixers Knicks, right? A no love loss between the two teams, and that series in part was so exciting to watch because the atmospheres at both arenas were tremendous. Now, depending on when the schedule comes out, the Giants don't look to be very good this year. Maybe that's the only thing Giants fans will be looking forward to do is booing Saquon because the team won't be very good. But hey, still, it'll be something. It's better than nothing. You know, I'm with you. Get some juice. Let's get some tension in the air. Better for everyone.
You know, that's sad, man. That's real sad. The Giants are going to suck. What's the best case for the Giants? That they win 8 games is best option, right?
Yeah. It's best case. I mean, yeah, 8 games. I was going to go a little lower. 8. Best case scenario, they stay healthy. Unexpected play. Offense is better than anyone ever thought. Run game somehow is a lot better. 8-9 seems like best case scenario.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to the New York Giants. They will need it. At least on the football side, you know, the Philadelphia, they can claim to have the better team because they are. And at least on the basketball side, the New York Knicks just told everybody, hey, we got a better team over here. And speaking of a football team and a New York football team, Hickey, you saw the Buffalo Bills picked up Claypool today?
That was the biggest signing of the day for receiver, right?
Oh, yeah. After Odell, right?
After everyone else has signed, then there's the Bills.
Isn't that kind of what they've done so far this offseason? They got Keon Coleman. I hope Keon Coleman is good. Like, when you're as funny as this guy, you got to be good, right?
Did you hear his new one the other day about golfing?
About golf? What did he call it? What did he say?
He said, yeah, I golf, but I'm Tiger Wish I Could. I'm not Tiger Woods.
Oh, If his NFL career doesn't work out, he can get into get into comedy. Just stay away from the podcast. It doesn't work out for people, mainly guys like Patrick Beverly. But yeah, Claypool is now a member of the Buffalo Bills. They did the nice photo op and him signing the contract. And I don't know what happened to this guy. This man comes out of Notre Dame. He's only 25 years old right now. Right out of the gate for the Steelers, had almost 900 yards receiving and 9 touchdowns in his first year. And he's basically hit the skids since. He got traded to Chicago, didn't do anything. Okay, Fields was there at that time. He goes to Miami last year. After he's traded from the Bears, he doesn't play. The guy had a grand total of 1 touchdown last year. In 2022, he had 1 touchdown. In 2021, still with the Steelers, even though he had 860 yards, 2 touchdowns. You got to search for these touchdowns. He's had 2 touchdowns since, over the past 3 seasons. What the hell is this guy about? I don't know. Buffalo Bills are just throwing stuff up against the wall and seeing if it sticks. We know Diggs is now gone. They drafted Keon Coleman. You have Dalton Kincaid. It would be, it'd be a nice turn of events if Chase Claypool found his way in Buffalo. The fans deserve that because the Buffalo Bills, all things considered, it's not like they've really improved. You would hope that this is a diamond in the rough. Chase Claypool is a big wide receiver, 6'4", 240 pounds. This dude was a brick house when he was coming out of a Notre Dame. And so congratulations. The Buffalo Bills not standing pat, adding Chase Claypool. The Miami Dolphins not standing pat, adding Odell Beckham Jr. And Hickey, we learned more about Dolphins here as well. How about this? I got a message on X. Big Wilk says, hey, at JR Sport Brief, Dolphins are apex ocean predators. That's what he said, Hickey.
No, they're not. Sharks are apex predators. Killer whales are apex predators.
Right, right.
Dolphins are not apex predators. What is he talking about?
Now, who's afraid of who? You'll never see a shark and a dolphin in the same place, right? Never, right?
Well, is that an old wives' tale or is that truth?
I'm going to Google it in the break. There's a lot of Googling dolphins in this show, right?
A lot. We are basically a marine biology show now.
Is Jack, you know Jack Hanna?
No, who's that?
Oh, he's an animal guy. Long
like
time.
Steve Irwin-ish?
He's before Steve Irwin.
Oh, okay.
I got to Google Jack. We need to get Jack Hanna on the phone, animal guy. I don't know who's the modern animal guy. There's one. There's not one, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
We're gonna talk about Dolphins and the loser Sixers and Bucks on the other side. Dolphins and Bucks and Sixers. Oh, my. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News for joining us in the last break. The Knicks are getting ready to take on the Indiana Pacers. That series gets started with Game 1 on Monday. A hell of a wait. I mean, at least between the Pacers and the Knicks. The Pacers eliminated the Bucks. The Knicks knock off the Sixers. At least they get a little bit of time to rest. Not too bad and not too shabby. These teams actually playing basketball right now, they're not resting. Because in Orlando, Florida, the place where dreams are made of, right? Or something like that. Is that New Hickey, that's New York? Dreams are made of, right?
Yes. Yes.
I've been to Orlando a million times. What is something about dreams with Mickey Mouse and all this other stuff?
That's why I was hesitant to say yes, because I feel like when you said that, I'm like, oh, Disney World. Like, yeah, like that's right. That to me sounds accurate.
Okay, so screw New York for a minute. They win.
Give it to Disney.
Yeah, give it to Disney for now. The Magic, they're currently beating the Cavaliers 29-25. Cleveland leads this series 3-2. And obviously, Cleveland is trying to avoid a game 7. And if they lose to the Orlando Magic, I don't care. And how many? Well, it'd have to be 7 games. Man, Donovan Mitchell, you might as well get this guy a ticket on out of town. And I'm active online and social media. I know we got the phone lines here, 855-212-4227. You know, somebody messaged me. A guy put a post up, a response to me on Facebook. He says, his name is Joe. Stop hating on the Cavs. It's been the best series so far. To who? And I don't hate on anybody. I just tell the truth. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic, they happen to, A, play in probably the couple of the smallest media markets here in the NBA flattened period. They don't have stars that have a gravitational pull for a casual basketball fan. You in Cleveland, which I assume, Joe, you're in, you might care about the Cavs. Nobody else does. I think if you would poll the majority of the country, people are having more fun. They watch the Lakers lose. I think people are having fun watching the New York Knicks and the 76ers. That series is now over. If I had to take a poll of America and say, which series don't you give a damn about? People are going to go, who on those teams? I know who's on those teams. I watch basketball religiously. But this ain't hitting the mark, man. Much love to your Cavaliers, but nobody cares. Holler at me in a couple of years. What's Donovan Mitchell going to do? I just, nobody cares about this series. That just so happens to be a fact. 855-212-4227. Another fact. Saquon Barkley was at the game last night, sitting courtside with his new teammate, A.J. Brown, wide receiver, just got his new deal. And Saquon Barkley, they showed him. And for the Knicks fans that were there, they booed him. Saquon Barkley is in Philadelphia. He's now a member of the Eagles. They gave him that big old contract, 3 years, $37 million, 26 guaranteed. And he got booed. Saquon Barkley went on Twitter, X. He says, it's been 2 months. There's no way you can still be this mad. I can't even go to a basketball game. A fan then responded to him. You bailed on New York. Sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. Saquon Barkley responded by saying, let me educate some of you fans here. I can't bail or become a traitor if I never got an offer to come back. So I went to the organization I felt was best. And after already being here for a month, man, I'm excited to be an Eagle. Go Birds. And Saquon Barkley not exactly further endearing himself to New York Giant fans, although that was going to be the case from the get-go. I mean, we heard Tiki Barber and tongue-in-cheek say, hey, he's dead to us. And Saquon even hit back at that Giants legend Tiki Barber by saying, hey, man, just, you got some nerve to talk. Don't smile in my face the next time you see me. Wow. Saquon Barkley fighting back. I do recall the New York Giants offering him a deal about a year ago. I don't know what they just did right now. I don't think they offered him anything. Maybe they didn't, but it's just a matter of timing. I do know when Saquon got the deal done and ended up as a Philadelphia Eagle at his introductory press conference, he said sorry to the fans. He said sorry to the Giants fans, but I guess sorry is over.
To the Giants fans that were hurt about me leaving, I got nothing but love and respect for all those guys and, you know, all those ladies and just the fans. For the last 6 years, they've been great to me, to my family, created so many memories. I don't think I really handled it the right way on social media. I think I could have gave a proper goodbye. You know, like I said, once I announced, everything kind of got hectic. But, yeah, I'm forever, you know, forever grateful for the Giants fans and so thankful for them.
Now to hell with him. Is that the new thing? He didn't say that, but is that the new feeling, Hickey?
Oh, definitely. You know he's going to be extra motivated next year when they go to MetLife.
Isn't that fun, though? I like this. This is what it should be, right? Beef? He's going to run the ball at MetLife Stadium, and they got the minute that he touches the ball, they're going to boo him, and I think it's great.
We just saw it on the court with Sixers Knicks, right? A no love loss between the two teams, and that series in part was so exciting to watch because the atmospheres at both arenas were tremendous. Now, depending on when the schedule comes out, the Giants don't look to be very good this year. Maybe that's the only thing Giants fans will be looking forward to do is booing Saquon because the team won't be very good. But hey, still, it'll be something. It's better than nothing. You know, I'm with you. Get some juice. Let's get some tension in the air. Better for everyone.
You know, that's sad, man. That's real sad. The Giants are going to suck. What's the best case for the Giants? That they win 8 games is best option, right?
Yeah. It's best case. I mean, yeah, 8 games. I was going to go a little lower. Eight. Best case scenario, they stay healthy. Unexpected play. Offense is better than anyone ever thought. Run game somehow is a lot better. 8-9 seems like best case scenario.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to the New York Giants. They will need it. At least on a football side, you know, the Philadelphia, they can claim to have the better team because they are. And at least on a basketball side, the New York Knicks just told everybody, hey, we got a better team over here. And speaking of a football team and a New York football team, Hickey, you saw the Buffalo Bills picked up Claypool today?
That was the biggest signing of the day for a receiver, right?
Oh, yeah. After Odell, right?
After everyone else has signed, then there's the Bills.
Isn't that kind of what they've done so far this offseason? They got Keon Coleman. I hope Keon Coleman is good. Like, when you're as funny as this guy, you got to be good, right?
Did you hear his new one the other day about golfing?
About golf? What did he call it? What did he say?
He said, yeah, I golf, but I'm Tiger Wish I Could. I'm not Tiger Woods.
Oh, If his NFL career doesn't work out, he can get into get into comedy. Just stay away from the podcast. It doesn't work out for people, mainly guys like Patrick Beverly. But yeah, Claypool is now a member of the Buffalo Bills. They did the nice photo op and him signing the contract. And I don't know what happened to this guy. This man comes out of Notre Dame. He's only 25 years old right now. Right out of the gate for the Steelers, had almost 900 yards receiving and 9 touchdowns in his first year. And he's basically hit the skids since. He got traded to Chicago, didn't do anything. Okay, Fields was there at that time. He goes to Miami last year. After he's traded from the Bears, he doesn't play. The guy had a grand total of 1 touchdown last year. In 2022, he had 1 touchdown. In 2021, still with the Steelers, even though he had 860 yards, 2 touchdowns. You got to search for these touchdowns. He's had 2 touchdowns since, over the past 3 seasons. What the hell is this guy about? I don't know. Buffalo Bills are just throwing stuff up against the wall and seeing if it sticks. We know Diggs is now gone. They drafted Keon Coleman. You have Dalton Kincaid. It'd be a nice turn of events if Chase Claypool found his way in Buffalo. The fans deserve that because the Buffalo Bills, all things considered, it's not like they've really improved. You would hope that this is a diamond in the rough. Chase Claypool is a big wide receiver, 6'4", 240 pounds. This dude was a brick house when he was coming out of a Notre Dame. And so congratulations, the Buffalo Bills not standing pat, adding Chase Claypool. The Miami Dolphins not standing pat, adding Odell Beckham Jr. And Hickey, we learned more about Dolphins here as well. How about this? I got a message on X. Big Wilk says, hey, at JR Sport Brief, Dolphins are apex ocean predators. That's what he said, Hickey.
No, they're not. Sharks are apex predators. Killer whales are apex predators.
Right, right.
Dolphins are not apex predators. What is he talking about?
Now, who's afraid of who? You'll never see a shark and a dolphin in the same place, right? Never, right?
Well, is that an old wives' tale or is that truth?
I'm going to Google it in the break. There's a lot of Googling dolphins in this show, right?
A lot. We are basically a marine biology show now.
Is Jack, you know Jack Hanna?
No, who's that?
Oh, he's an animal guy. Long
like
time.
Steve Irwin-ish?
He's before Steve Irwin.
Oh, okay.
I got to Google Jack. We need to get Jack Hanna on the phone, animal guy. I don't know who's the modern animal guy. There's not one, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
We're gonna talk about Dolphins and the loser Sixers and Bucks on the other side. Dolphins and Bucks and Sixers. Oh, my. Don't go anywhere.